It's the President's Perspective for Wednesday, July 2nd, 2014, a monthly half-hour chat with the President and CEO of Texas A&M University Commerce, Dr. Dan Jones. I'm Jared Knight. On today's program, we've got sports on the brain. We're only a few short months away from the very first A&M Commerce softball game, and the excitement is already through the roof. We'd also like to talk about summer sports camps on the A&M Commerce campus. We're a few weeks past a basketball camp that brings young athletes from around the nation to Commerce, Texas, to learn from some of the best.
That's right, Jared. Summer is a busy time here on the campus of Texas A&M University Commerce. We don't have a lot of our university students coming to class. We have a lot of university students taking online classes and working on their programs in various ways. But that doesn't mean that we don't have a lot of traffic here on campus. We have a continual stream of young people doing all sorts of things. And one of the camps that just finished up here fairly recently was our basketball camp. Our first guest today is basketball head coach Sam Walker. Sam, welcome to the show.
Well, I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be in such a great honor of being on the President's show. Right? I usually don't make it on this high level of... of our listening audience.
Right. Well, the thrill is all mine, Coach Walker. Well, listen, I wandered over to the field house a couple of weeks ago, and it was hopping.
Upon 200 screaming kids diving after loose balls.
And, it was amazing.
Energy was in the air.
That's an understatement, and a lot of coaches. Tell us a little bit about the summer basketball camps.
Well, we just completed our third week of basketball camp. We did a day camp the first week here on our campus. We partnered with the YMCA in Greenville and did a camp over there the second week of the summer, and then we had our big overnight camp this past week. And I guess it's like so many things that we've done with our basketball program. We fail at things so many times that we find out just the right way to do it. And our morning camps and day camps that we have are more geared towards, we have all of our players, all of our coaches, everybody that works at camp in both camps has either been a current player, an ex-player, a current member of the staff, or an ex-member of the staff. We don't have anybody that's in our program that didn't grow up doing the camps with us. And with over 20 years of doing camps, I really think it has a lot of carryover to the young kids that we have. And we target the 6, 7, 8, 9, all the way through junior high and that age group. And it's really set up to motivation, getting people in the gym, getting people feeling good about themselves, learning a little bit about basketball, but just really having fun. And I think it was a great 2 weeks that we had that. But about a dozen years ago, me and a couple of buddies that guys that I really hold in very high regard as far as coaches, we were sitting around at the state tournament and we said, there's not a camp anymore that you come and you learn, like going to school.
Right.
Let's go to school. So we started a basketball school, and it's called the Texas Prep Basketball School. And we have people come in, Dave Severance from Nike Basketball. We had Dave Bowinkle from assistant director of player personnel with the Chicago Bulls. We had Bill Van Gundy. He's the father of Jeff and Stan Van Gundy.
Sure.
We had the all-time winningest coach in the history of high school basketball in the state of Texas. You go right down the list. Fran Fraschella, he had to leave early to go be the ESPN analyst for the NBA draft. So he couldn't stay with his kids for the rest of the camp to go and be the European expert on the draft Thursday night. Well, we've gotten these people, when they come and look at it, they're like, oh, my God, this is like the old days where you used to come in. You didn't go to the swimming pool or have movie night.
Mm-hmm.
Our first practice is at 6 o'clock in the morning, and we finish our last practice at 11 o'clock at night. And we
do
it for 5 straight days, and it's tiring to watch. It's tiring to run. My son Charlie went for the first year. You have to be in seventh grade to go into seventh grade to be able to do it, and he's still asleep from when we brought him home from Whitley Hall on Thursday. So it's just a great experience, and I think it just ties in to our summer programs. I've got to, you know, I told you when we talked earlier in the week what a great job Sarah White has done.
Yes,
having people on our campus and having them. Having 7th and 8th graders, 9th and 10th graders, our band camps, our cheerleading camps, our FFA camp, our the truth camp we had, we have thousands of kids on our campus that are getting a chance to eat in our cafeteria, stay in our housing, and walk around and kind of see what the college experience is. I think our university has done a phenomenal job of really opening its arms to these young people in our area and getting them their first hit. I always wanted to be a lumberjack. Stephen F. Austin, for whatever reason, everybody, and I didn't go to school there,
right.
Everybody in my family went to Texas Tech. Well, why did I want to go to Stephen F.? I always went to student council camp. at Stephen F. and have great experiences in the dorms as a 9th and 10th grader. It's like, why not Stephen F.?
Yeah, you know? Sure.
Right.
Sure.
Where is it, Sam? I don't know, but why not Stephen F.? So I think camps have a great carryover to the whole marketing experience that we have going on right now.
No, I think you're absolutely right. These kids come here for a day or a week or however long it is, and they go home, and this is their image of college. This is what going to college looks like to them. And, you know, they all leave with a Lions T-shirt or a cap or and of course, great memories.
Sure.
And a lot of these campers come back year after year.
Well, it's funny. You know, we had kids from Puerto Rico. We have kids fly in from all over. We had a group of 20 come in from El Paso. But when the parents from Austin Westlake and Highland Park, and they come in, they say, I didn't know this place was this beautiful. I'd heard it's good. But when they're making their comparisons, TCU, SMU, A&M Commerce, from an aesthetic standpoint of what we've done to our campus, is just phenomenal. And when we get the compliments from those people that are used to nothing but the highest standards of mowing our yards and greenery and shrubbery, that this place is really pretty. This is a nice place, Coach. I think it speaks wonders for what we've done here and where we're going.
I know one of the coaches you introduced me to, I think he said he used to be a coach at Highland Park, and that was his reaction when he first came here.
Sure.
You know, and this is a guy, as you say, who's been used to the best of everything in all respects, of facilities, you know, support, service, the whole thing. And they come out here to Commerce, Texas, and they think they don't know what to think. They've got no image of us at all.
Right.
But once they see the campus, they say, oh my God, this is incredible. This is where I want my kids to come, and this is what the university experience ought to be for them.
It's one of, not my first step, but one of the many steps I have in trying to get you to build a new special event center.
We're going
to
do that, Sam.
We're going to do that. It's definitely on the 20-year plan.
It's in the master plan. Yeah, the master plan has a lot of neat stuff in it. It doesn't have any particular timeline involved.
To be perfectly honest, the camp experience does not help me in my quest to that at all, because the field house is the best place you could ever have a basketball camp. To have that many wood floors all in one area and all the courts are all set up, people go, this place is phenomenal. And I'm like, I don't want to hear that, man. I want to hear.
Now, what is you? I've heard this before, and you reiterated again last week that the field house is the largest continuous wood floor
all
playing
wood floor
surface
in the southwestern portion of the United States. I don't know how many states that encompasses, but
I've heard something similar like that. That it's that
it
it's
was
kind
in
of a,
print for a long time in our media guide, and so I don't know if we got passed up. Somebody built a
bigger
wood floor
yeah.
that was bigger, and they maybe we check with Guinness. I'm not sure what you really do to find out what the.
Well, it'd have to be pretty big to be bigger than the field house. You know, the field house, I think a lot of listeners know, used to be an airplane hangar.
For large airplanes.
For large airplanes. And it was up at Camp Maxey in Paris. Then after the war, it was disassembled and moved to our campus, put back together just like an erector set. And then we added the classrooms and offices and so forth. So,
well, it's been such a phenomenal home court advantage for us over the years, and talking with the coaches that have been in the league a long time, when you talk to Rick Cooper, who was a longtime coach at West Texas and coaches at Angela and stuff, when they built these new arenas, they're like, Sam, we never get in them. There's always a function in there. You don't get to practice in them. If you touch anything, it's going to break. You're not stomping on bleachers the same way it is. And when they played in the box or in the other event centers that they had, they said that's when we really – it didn't show off as well to recruits, but you really want to play a basketball game for the students. I think we have a phenomenal place. I think we can do some things to doctor it up, but I think the field house is a phenomenal venue for volleyball and basketball and the other events that we have in there.
And speaking of phenomenal venues, our fans will see a whole new playing surface this fall.
They will see a whole new playing surface. And they put the big lion's head on there. I'm sure most of our listeners have gone online and have seen it's a phenomenal playing surface. We've inverted that. What would be paint is wood, and what be wood, where wood would be is stain.
Easy for you to say.
That was easy. How much wood could a woodchuck cover? Wood. But the lion's head is turned around the opposite direction. And of course, you'd think that I would know why that it's the logo is
facing
turned
the wrong way.
It's facing the other direction because for TV games, cameras have got to face the benches. So it's either move the benches to the other side. They set it up for TV. And people have said, well, we're not playing games on TV. Why would they go to all that trouble? Well, we played, I think, 7 basketball games in our conference. The one that we played was at Angelo that was on Comcast that was covered all over Houston and Austin and San Antonio. And I think our conference is going that direction. I think in the next year and definitely in the next 5 years, we're going to find a lot more of our games that are going to be televised, whether it be on the computer or on
But you've got to plan for
Ocho.
That anyway. I mean, you got to know that it's possible for somebody to bring a TV camera and for somebody to set up and
totally.
Do that. You
got
to be ready for that. I don't understand. I don't believe that it's a very cheap thing to do to just completely refinish the floor and do something different.
Yeah, and it's not just a refinished floor. It's all new wood and everything. I mean, it's a brand new playing surface.
Right.
So
it needs to last. It needs to be ready for the next few years.
It was phenomenal when watching that thing being built. And you would walk out of my office onto the floor, and there was a hole that was 2.5 feet. They could fall. I mean, they dug the wood out,
sure.
And the wood that was in there, it just lets you know how they built things in the old days. It was the big, thick wood planks, was the Brooklyn Bridge was underneath there or something. And when they brought the wood that they do now, and it was like, that's not the big, thick stuff. They said, this is the best wood money can buy. I go, not the best wood money could buy in 1950, I guarantee
you. Yeah, it was quite a spectacle watching them take that out. That old floor did not come out easily.
I helped them quite a bit. I spent a lot of time being told, we don't need your help, coach. We've got this. But I had my tool belt on, and I was like, hey, y'all need more help today? I was like, coach, why don't you just sit up in the stands and watch today? You can be a good spectator. But I was ready in case they needed me.
Well, you know, that's the lion spirit, right? Do whatever the occasion demands. Coach Sam Walker, it's been a busy summer, and it's not over yet. I know we've got a lot of great things planned, and of course Lion basketball is a few months off, but I'm sure we're looking forward to a great season.
We've got a few
season.
Other sports to get ready. We're excited about athletics this year. I think it's a time to be excited. Our volleyball, soccer, and football, all three of those are looking at really, really big seasons, and they're going to start us off, and we're hoping that those three sports really kind of set the tone for what we're going to do throughout the rest of the year.
It's going to be a great season all around.
Guys, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about softball here on the A&M Commerce campus and how exciting it's going to be. Coach Walker, thanks so much for being here.
Good to be here. Thank you very much.
This is the President's Perspective, only on your station, 88.9 KETR. The President's Perspective is on your station, 88.9 KETR. I'm Jared Knight. Dr. Jones is here, and we're talking sports on campus.
That's right, Jared. There's a lot of things going on here in the summer, and some of it involves, just as we were talking with Coach Walker, about summer camps for kids and all kinds of different athletic programs and venues. But there's also a lot of work going on just to get ready for next year's various competition seasons. And one exciting new addition, which we've talked a little bit about before on the program, is A&M Commerce softball, which will this will be our first softball team ever, or at least in living memory.
Right.
And the excitement level continues to grow. We're working on the field now. Coach Richie Brewster has been with us now for almost a year. He's been recruiting. Actually has four girls on campus, has had four girls here on campus for during this first prep year, and we'll have the full team here this fall. We'll start with some exhibition games and then begin our first season of varsity competition in the spring. This portion of the program, our guest is Ryan Ivey, our athletic director. Ryan, welcome.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. Doing great. Tell us a little bit about softball.
Yeah, softball has certainly been, I think, a much-needed addition to our sports lineup and our varsity sports lineup that we have here at A&M Commerce, and we're well underway to beginning that season, and we're certainly looking forward to it. Currently right now we're in the process of our facility construction of our new softball facility, and that's going to be a fantastic facility for us. It really is. We're going to have AstroTurf is going to come in and do the field for us. Our infield is going to be a blue turf, outfield is going to be the green but with alternating stripes on it, just like somebody mowed it, with the big lion head out in center field as well. And we're going to have Musco lighting in it, which is state-of-the-art lighting when it comes to athletic competitions. Southern Bleachers coming in and is going to be doing all of our grandstands work with that. We're going to have some sunken dugouts, which is just going to make it a fantastic playing experience for our student athletes and a fantastic viewing experience for our fans as well. So we're looking forward to it, and it certainly is much needed.
Yeah, no, I agree. And there's just been a lot of interest here, both on campus and in the community.
Absolutely.
When's the first game going to be and all that kind of stuff. And the field for Lions, who have been around for a while, is on the site where Hubble Hall used to stand.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so during the excavation, we're finding little bits and pieces of Hubble Hall in the process.
Yeah, that's been a fun process.
Yeah. But, it will be a stunning addition to campus. Tell me a little bit about our new coach, Richie Brewster.
Yeah, Coach Brewster has really done a fantastic job, really got in, kind of hit the ground running. He came to us from Texas Women's University, where he had just finished taking his team to the College World Series. Mm-hmm. And so to bring someone like Coach Brewster in for his caliber was really a great get, if you will, for us and for A&M Commerce. He is a fantastic recruiter. Just does a phenomenal job of getting out and knowing how to evaluate talent.
Mm-hmm.
Not only does he evaluate talent on the softball field, but he knows how to evaluate character. And he knows how to evaluate, you know, athletes that are great students as well. I mean, his threshold, if you will, for a coach from a GPA standpoint on his team is a 3.4.
Isn't that amazing?
So he's requiring his student athletes to have 3.4 above, or they're mandated to go to study hall and do some of those other things. And
right,
which is just. It's just really kind of remarkable. I mean, mm-hmm. and you know, his TW teams led the league in GPAs for, you know, 2 or 3 years, and so he's really all about developing the comprehensive student athlete, which is very important to us.
And that is important. That's one of the things here at A&M Commerce that we pride ourselves on. It's not just winning games.
Right.
It's helping young people grow and develop and reach their potential.
Absolutely.
And you got to set high expectations for him.
Absolutely, and he does. And I tell you what, I mean, he expects to win,
right?
And he expects him to do well in the classroom, you know. And those are things that we talk about from an athletic standpoint. And every year when we talk to our student athletes, we talk to them. Look, we expect you to be good students in the classroom. You're going to go to class. You're going to do well. You're going to perform. You're going to be good citizens in the community, whether it's the campus community or the Commerce community or the Hunt County community. You're going to be good citizens, and then we expect you to win. You know,
right.
If you came here to lose, then you came to the wrong place. You know,
exactly.
We expect you to do all three, and we expect you to do them very well. And I think for the most part, our student athletes have really kind of risen to the challenge, you know, this past year, and have really done some remarkable things. I'm really proud of them.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And we want to give them something to be proud of. And we want to be proud of this university. It's their university.
Absolutely.
And we want them to show that pride in all walks of life.
Absolutely.
And so that when they leave here, they're going to be successful young men and women. Well, let's talk about some of the ways that you're getting the word out. I know that you all over in the athletic department are big users of social media.
We are, absolutely.
And before we turned the mics on, we were talking a little bit about a Sunday evening activity that, I don't know, would you call it a program or what?
It's called Twitter Chat.
Twitter Chat,
that's
there you
exactly
go.
That's exactly what it is, yeah. I was fortunate enough to get hooked up with Kirby Gary, who's the athletics director at Cal State Monterey Bay, and Jim Abbott, who's the athletics director at Oklahoma City University. And the three of us got together, and we're just kind of sitting around one day, and really via email, just kind of talking to each other. How can we help other small college administrators? You know, what can we do to help to really help kind of spread the word and get mm-hmm. the word out and really help utilize our resources? Because being at some limited resource institutions, you know,
it's hard.
It's absolutely. It's exactly right. I tell folks all the time there are a lot more small colleges than there are big colleges.
That's right.
And we have to kind of, as small college administrators, we have to kind of find a way to kind of band together and kind of help each other out. And so we were thinking, and I just thought, man, what about a Twitter chat? Sunday right. night, you know, we're all kind of sitting around at home on Sunday nights anyway. Of course, that's another hour that the wife can scream at us, you know. And, what are you doing on the? But that's part of it. So
you're going to edit that part out, right?
Sure, yeah.
But, you know, that's kind of part of it.
That was Ryan Ivey that made that comment about his wife.
And my wife, God bless her, she does scream at me. I can't believe you're on that computer this time. But so we were sitting around thinking, and that was the best way we could come up with. And so every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, so you know, we have a Twitter chat. It's hashtag, and for those that don't know, hashtag is the pound sign.
Right.
Okay, so hashtag.
Actually, my daughter didn't know that there was a term called pound
yeah,
sign.
Absolutely.
She just knew hashtag.
So hashtag SCA chat. So S is in small, C is in college, and A is in an administrator, a small college administrator chat.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's an hour. It's from 8 to 9 each Sunday night, and we talk about a variety of things. We talk about marketing. We talk about fundraising. We talk about student-athlete involvement. We talk about professional development. Last night we started the chat by talking about good books that people are reading, you know, mm-hmm. those type of things. And, you know, it's really been very beneficial. We probably started 3 months months ago now, sometime around April, and it really has kind of taken off. And it's really we got folks all over the country that are participating. We got, like I said, Kirby's in California participating. We've got a Canadian institution that's participating well. We've got folks all up and down the East Coast and all walks of life that come in and participate. And really, it's a variety of institutions. They're private. They're public. There's some larger, you know, institutions that you might think of. I know Marco Bourne from Middle Tennessee State. He participates in it, but. And you would think of Middle Tennessee State, that's the largest public institution in the state of Tennessee, and you wouldn't think of it as a small college, but it's a regional institution in nature. Right. And for them to have some of the struggles that they have, especially fighting with, you know, UT and Georgia and Auburn and Alabama, kind of right there in the heart of the SEC country, they have a lot of problems that we do as a Division II institution has.
Right.
And so it's really been really neat to kind of see how it doesn't matter what level you are, that a lot of us have the same problems. And as I tell people all the time, we really all have the same problems. It's just some of us have more zeros at the end of those problems than others. And yeah. And that's really kind of what it boils down to. At the end of the day, we're all trying to reach out to folks. You know, we're all trying to build a brand and build our fan base. We're all trying to graduate our student athletes. We're all trying to win championships. And you know, while our student athletes and our coaches face each other on the field in the competition, you know, they're going to be, you know, competitive by nature. As administrators, we have to figure out a way to kind of help each other because if we all get better, then we're all going to be better off for it. And so that's kind of my philosophy on it. And I think it's been really good so far.
I can say that there's interest that goes even beyond the small school administration, obviously, because I'm kind of glued to the thing every time saying what people, I'm in a position to kind of need to know sometimes a little bit about a lot of things. And I get to learn a lot about what, you know, is on the minds of these collegiate sports administrators whenever I'm watching through this thing and I'm seeing, you know, how are you tackling this marketing issue, you know, or how are you trying to take a run at this problem, whatever it happens to be. And it's really kind of neat to see the thought that's going into it. It's never just a, you know, shot in the dark. Nobody's throwing darts.
Right.
It's always a, you know, what's tried and true and how's it working for you. And, you know, there's in-depth. Sometimes it takes 3 or 4 tweets, you know, 140 characters is not always enough.
No. Yeah. Last night it took me a few on a couple of questions. Yeah.
Like, oh crap! I gotta keep going. So. Yeah.
But what a valuable medium to be able to do that, and it's not particularly private, but it doesn't have to be private.
Right.
The idea is that it's open to the world.
Yeah,
they can kind of see what's going on.
And I think we've got a lot of folks that follow, like Jared, like yourself, that don't participate, and so it's hard to gauge sometimes. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes I've started because we rotate about every other week who's leading the chat and. So there have been a couple of weeks where I've been leading and I've thrown out the first question. I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to sit here and tweet to myself, you know. And
you
then eventually
know.
It just keeps coming and, you know, it gets going. It takes it a few minutes, I guess, for folks to kind of get into it. But it's, you know, it's really – and then when we were in NACTA this past few weeks ago in down in Orlando at our national convention, I mean, a lot of people come up to us and say, I love your chats on Sunday nights. I haven't participated yet, but I follow along. I love your chat and keep doing it. And so – it's really neat to see. So,
yeah.
So we're reaching some folks.
Good. That's great. Well, just one more way that Lion Athletics is leading the way.
Absolutely.
And really putting our university in a leadership position.
That's right.
Ryan Ivey, athletic director, thanks so much for being with us on the show
this
week.
Thank you for having me.
And it's going to be another great year for Lion Athletics.
That's right. The President's Perspective is a monthly half-hour chat with the President and CEO of Texas A&M University Commerce, Dr. Dan Jones. Archives of this and other programs can be found online at ketr.org. While you're there, consider making a monetary contribution in support of great public radio programs like this one by clicking Support This Station in the top right-hand corner. Talk with the station on Facebook and Twitter. Search for KETR Radio. This program is produced at KETR Studios in historic Binion Hall on the campus of Texas A&M University Commerce. We're your station, 88.9 KETR. I'm Jared Knight. Thanks for listening.